Erev Tov and good evening, everyone. We are in the Zera Shimshon on Parsha Shmini. We are going to do Os Zion, section 7. This is a lengthy piece, and we'll do almost the whole thing, but leave out the last couple of paragraphs, which go off on a little bit of a tangent. But it's a very, very fascinating piece, and Zera Shimshon is going to share a very fundamental idea with us that, and then apply it in different areas. I think you'll see that it's most relevant, in addition to being fascinating, most relevant and applicable. So before we begin, the Zera Shimshon does not connect this piece to a specific pasuk, but it's clear that it connects to at least two of the themes in our Parsha, in Parsha Shmini. In the Parsha, Aharon, Hashem gives a tzivua, gives a command to Aharon that the Kohanim are not allowed to drink wine when they serve in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan originally, and then later on in the Beis HaMikdash. And this piece, as you'll see, has a lot to do with wine, with Yayin. In addition to that, Parsha Shmini towards the end deals with the laws of Kashrus and the importance of being able to distinguish and discern, to make a separation between animals that are and fish that are kosher, that are tohor, and those that are tameh, that are impure and not kosher. And this piece also, you'll see, has a lot to do with that idea of distinguishing between the tohor and the tameh, between the pure and the impure. So with that introduction, without any further ado, let's jump right in. Section Zion, Os Zion, section 7. Kosov bepirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. In the Medrash of Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer, it is written, Veheviu nami hator, or Echaim, and this quote from the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer is also brought down in the Tor, which is, of course, one of the great codes of Jewish law. It actually preceded the code of Jewish law that we're most familiar with, the Shulchan Aruch, but the Tor was written by the son of Rabbeinu Asher, of the Rush. And so the Zera Shimshon says, this piece is also, this quote you're about to hear is also brought there. Here's the quote from the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Tzadok Omer, Rebbe Tzadok says, call me she'eno mavdil al hayayin b'motzoi shabosos. Anyone who does not make havdola over wine on Saturday nights, on after Shabbos, on Motzei Shabbos, o she'eno shomea me'acherim shem mavdilin, or this person does not hear Havdalah from someone else who's making Havdalah over a cup of wine. Eino roesim in bracha le'olam. This person will not see signs of blessing in his or her life forever. Meaning it's a very, very terrible thing not to make Havdalah or to hear Havdalah over a cup of wine on Motzei Shabbos. Aval mishem avdil al hayayin, however, someone who does make Havdalah on a cup of wine, or top of the next column, shomea me'acherim shemavdilin, or listens to other people making Havdalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu koro kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls this person, refers to this person as a kadosh, as a holy individual, ve'osehu segula, and makes him into a treasured person. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, these are actually two psukim parts, fragments of two different psukim being quoted here. Shenemar, as it says, v'hiyisem li segula mikol ha'amim, and you will be treasured from all of the nations. Va'avdil eschem min ha'amim li yosli, and I will separate you from the nations to be for me. And of course, avdil, we're supposed to kind of see that in neon lights. That's Havdalah, that's separating. Hashem will separate us from the nations when we do Havdalah and we make Havdalah over a cup of wine, and Hashem will make us segula, a treasured people and treasured individuals. So that is the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. Zera Shimshon says, next paragraph, Tzarech Iyun, this requires some analysis. Eich b'mitzvah zu levada yekabel ha'odom kol kach schar. How can it be that from this mitzvah by itself, just doing the mitzvah of Havdalah over a cup of wine on Saturday night, a person can receive such incredible reward that they're going to be referred to as a kadosh, as a holy individual, that they're going to be treated as a segula, as a special treasured person by Hashem? How is it possible just by making Havdalah? Is that all it really takes? umikolshkein, and how much more so do we need to ask this question de iko plukta, because there is an argument bein haposkin between the halachic authorities imhi de oraisa o de rabbanan. If Havdalah is a mitzvah de oraisa, a Torah mitzvah, or only a rabbinic mitzvah. So the Zera Shimshon is saying, since there are poskim, there are halachic authorities, early halachic authorities who held that making Havdalah over a cup of wine on Saturday night is only a mitzvah de rabbanan, a rabbinic mitzvah, then that strengthens the question manifold. How can it be that doing a rabbinic mitzvah, such as, according to this school of thought, making Havdalah over a cup of wine on Saturday night, brings a person this incredible, incredible reward from Hashem? Uma inyan godel mitzvah zo. And what is the greatness of this mitzvah? What is it that makes that catapults Havdalah, saying Havdalah over a cup of wine, catapults it into the hall of fame of mitzvot, so close to Hashem? The ode, in another question, lama dafka tzarech yayin. Why did the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer specifically say a person has to make Havdalah over wine? Would have been enough when we say Havdalah in our Shmon Esrei, when we say Atachon Antanu. Couldn't the Rebbe Tzadok, who was brought down, couldn't he have said, when we say Havdalah, why did he specifically say when we make Havdalah over a cup of wine? Why is that? Does that seem to be a necessary and critical and vital piece, component of the mitzvah, making the Havdalah over wine? V'chein nami b'kiddush. And so too, regarding kiddush, we could ask the same question. Why is it so important to say kiddush over a cup of wine? Why not just recite the kiddush, the beautiful words of kiddush? Why is it connected to a cup of wine, just like Havdalah? Why is it connected to a cup of wine? And why is there such tremendous char when we put those two things together, the recitation of the Havdalah and the cup of wine? V'hu hadinami, and also we need to ask, or we need to understand and analyze Masha Omru Zichron Lebracha, what Chazal said in a Gemara in Maseches Erevin, Lo Nivra Yayin. Wine was not created, ela lenachem avelim, but to comfort mourners, ulishalem sachar tov lirishayim, and to give a good reward to the wicked. And that Gemara, when it says give a good reward to the wicked, what it means is to pay off wicked people with some kind of reward in this world, in olam hazeh, so they deserve absolutely no reward in olam haba, where the ikar, where the main, the primary, the true reward for leading a good life is given by Hashem to the people who deserve it. So what that Gemara is saying is that wine was primarily created for the purpose of comforting mourners and to pay off wicked in this world, so that when they drink wine and they have a good time and they have a nice party over their wine, Hashem can say, okay, you had a good time in Olam Hazeh. Now I certainly, even for any of the good things you might have done in your life, I certainly don't have to give you a reward in Olam Haba. So the Zera Shimshon concludes his little list of questions by saying, we also need to understand, while we're discussing Havdalah and wine and why it's so incredibly important, we also need to understand this statement in the Gemara in Erevin about the real purpose of wine. Next paragraph, v'hakol yuvon, and all of this can be understood, v'hakti medrash acher, by bringing in a different quote from the medrash, Parshas Noach, on Parshas Noach. And this is the Medrash Rabbah on Parshas Noach. V'yita kerem, in the pasuk it states that Noach planted a vineyard, and of course we know the well-known episode where after Noach and his family came out of the Teva, after the Mabul, after the flood, the Torah tells us that Noach planted a vineyard and he became intoxicated, and that led to a series of unfortunate events. And so the Medrash Rabbah says he planted a vineyard, b'shosha hayaholech lita kerem, at the time that Noach was going to plant the vineyard, the demon named Shemadon, and this was a well-known and powerful shade, a powerful demon, bumped into Noach. Omar Le, and so the demon said to Noach, Shutfi imoch, I'm going to be your partner. I see you're going to plant a vineyard. I'm your partner now. And he made Noach an offer he couldn't refuse. He wasn't asking Noach. He was telling Noach, I'm going to be your partner. Elahizar becha, but be very careful. Deloteo bechelki, don't come up to my side of the field. I'll own half of the vineyard and you'll own half of the vineyard. Make sure the demon said to Noach, don't come over into my, don't step foot into my side of the vineyard. Ve'i alis bechelki, and if you do come up into my side, ana chavil becha, I'm going to damage you. I'm going to injure you. I'm going to attack you. So the Zeres Shimshon says, let's see what this medrash really means. V'zehu hatam she'omru. And this idea that is expressed in that piece in the Medrash Rabbah connects to what Chazal said in Maseches Yuma. Zocha, if a person merits to drink wine and handle his wine, his or her wine consumption correctly, zocha, if the person is merits that, mesamcho, then wine will gladden the person and make the person happy. Lo zocha, if the person doesn't merit to treat wine responsibly and in a sacred way, mishamimo, then the wine can destroy that individual. Chomar, this means to say, de'im zocha yelo chelek kedusha. If a person merits it through their actions and their way of dealing with wine, then they can bring holiness. They can attain holiness and bring holiness into the world through the wine. Ve'im lav, and if not, yikonis bo chelek katuma, then they will get a impure spirit. They will become impure and might even have impure behavior caused by the wine that they consume. Ulefi zeh, and according to this, b'makom shenichnaso bo midas hadin, in a situation in the world when the midas hadin, Hashem's quality of justice enters, the hainu hamisa, which is ultimately represented by death. That's death is the ultimate act of the midas hadin, the God's quality and attribute of justice. Shenichnaso bechelek ha'adam, that enters into the portion of a man, a man or a woman, they're leading their his or her life, and Misa comes in and takes the person away from this world. Afa Adam Yikanes Bechelka, then a person can enter in to the chelek, the normally impure area, domain of wine, the Yishtayayin Harbe, and can drink a lot of wine. Kemo b'yomim kadmonim, as we find in ancient days, meaning the days of the Gemara, hayushosim asara kosos b'veis ha'ovel. They used to drink 10 cups of wine in the house of a mourner. And you can see the Gemara in Ksubas is quoted there in the parentheses. The Gemara teaches that there were special blessings and special cups of wine that were drunk before the meal, during the meal, and during Birchas HaMazon, after the meal, in the house of a mourner, along with special recitations. So the Zeres Shimshon says, a person could even drink a tremendous amount of wine in certain situations, 10 glasses of wine, and still have it be a mitzvah, still have it be a chelek of kedusha, still have it be something tahor and pure and holy because of the specific circumstance in which the wine was being consumed. And so to wicked people, when they enter into the chelek, the domain of wine in an impure way, in their wickedness, they're going to drink and get intoxicated in this world. And as we said, that means they no longer have even the slightest chance of being rewarded in Olam Haba. They're using up their reward in this world by drinking and partying and becoming drunk. The Zehu, and this is what the Gemara meant. This is the Gemara above that the Zeres Shimshon quoted in the paragraph above from Maseches Erevin. This is what the Gemara meant when it said, "L'nachem avelem u'l'shalim sachar tov l'rishayim." Wine, the primary purpose of wine is to be consumed at the house of a mourner to comfort the mourners and to help everyone not to become too depressed and too demoralized, and also to pay off Rishayim so that they receive no reward in the world to come. So the Zeres Shimshon has explained to us that wine has great potential for good and for holiness, but it also is very dangerous and has great potential for impurity and evil. And that is represented by the Gemara in Erevin when it talked about the wine at the Nichum Avelim as compared to or to be contrasted with the wine that the Rishayim drink. And now he's going to continue. V'hoil, bottom paragraph. V'hoil shebiyayin yesh shtei chalokim. Since we now see, since the Zera Shimshon has established for us that wine has two aspects, v'tzorech lahavdil beinehem, and we need to always separate between these two aspects. We can never treat wine lightly. We can never just assume wine is good in all circumstances. No, we have to distinguish between its positive aspect and its negative aspect or negative potential. Lachain, therefore, call Misha Mavdil al Hayayin Dafka b'motzei Shabbos. Everyone who makes Havdalah over a cup of wine, specifically on Saturday night, va'omir ha-mavdil bein kodesh l'chol, and says the words, Hashem, who separates, who distinguishes between the holy and the profane, demode, he is confessing or admitting in front of Hashem, va'omer, and he's saying, shehu eino rotze likones bechelka, that he does not want to enter into the impure domain or the impure, dangerous, negative aspect of wine. Rach bechelek hakedusha, he only wants to enter into the holy aspect of wine and the positive uses for wine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koro Kadosh. That's what the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer was bringing down, that then HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him a holy person, Va'ose Oso Segula, and makes him into a treasured individual. Dahainu Dover Chaviv, this word Segula means something precious and cherished. U'bichol Kenisas Yom Kadosh, and every time a holy day enters, whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, Nami Mekadshin Al Hayayin, we also make Kiddush. We don't just wait for Havdalah. We make Kiddush at the beginning of a Shabbos and a Yontif on a cup of wine. Dafka, specifically, Kedei Lahachnia Haklipa, in order to subdue, to show our dominance over the impure forces in the world. So let's pause here for a moment. The Zera Shimshon's original question was, what is it about making Havdalah specifically over a cup of wine that brought such incredible schar, incredible reward, and incredible praise that the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer brought down from Rabbi Tzadok? What's that all about? And so now he has answered that question by saying that wine has the two aspects that he discussed, the positive holy aspect and the negative potential for impurity and for bad behavior and inappropriate behavior. And therefore, we have to always, when dealing with wine, be mavdil, make a havdalah, make a distinction between the two purposes, and always dedicate ourselves to the holy and positive side. And when a person therefore takes wine specifically and makes havdalah over it and says the word, we are separating between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and we're thanking Hashem, we're blessing Hashem for being Mavdil, being Kodesh Lachol, that, being saying that while we're holding the cup of wine, is a very powerful statement on our parts, even though we may not have realized it until the Zera Shimshon just explained it to us. That is making a powerful statement that resonates in Shamayim and that brings powerful rewards with it, because we are saying we only want to commit ourselves and devote ourselves to Kedusha, to holiness, and to good pursuits, and pursuits that bring us closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We want nothing of the other aspect of wine, so to speak, the partying and the reckless behavior and the dangerous behavior and the tumah, the impure thoughts and activities. We want no part of that. And that is what is represented by saying Havdalah over a cup of wine on Motzei Shabbos. Uboze Yuvan Masha Omru Beper Kama de Megillah. And with this, we can understand what was said in the very famous Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Megillah. Chayav Inish Lebesume Bepuria. A person is obligated to become, Lebesume has different interpretations, but the usual interpretation is to become intoxicated on Purim. Adilo Yoda, until he does not know, Bain Baruch Mordechai v'Aror Haman. Between, we should bless Mordechai and Haman, Mordechai should be blessed and Haman should be cursed. He drinks so much that you don't even know the difference between those two statements. De Baruch v'Aror Haim Haim Hashtei Chalokim Sheyesh B'Yayin. we need to understand that when the Gemara Megillah talks about drinking wine and becoming intoxicated on Purim, it's specifically talking about wine because wine has the two aspects of baruch, of bringing blessing, or chas v'shalom, God forbid, aror, of bringing curses into the world. Chelek HaKedusha, it has its holy aspect, v'chelek tuma, and it has its impure and unholy aspect. U'mikre bar Yisrael de'isle dina b'hadei goy. And we read there that a Jewish person, if he has some kind of legal case with a non-Jew, he should also get involved in that at that time. U'be'adar re'a mazle de'goy, because the month of Adar is a time when the fortunes of non-Jews is on the decline. It's going down, and the fortune of Jews is on the ascendant, it's rising. How much more is this true, not just in the month of Adar, but on the day of Purim itself, which is our day of celebration as the Jewish people. And the impure aspects and powers in the world are pushed down and subjugated on that day, from in front of us. And someone who drinks more than is appropriate, lo yira mikol davar ra. If a person does this on Purim, he shouldn't be afraid of anything bad happening. Adarabba, just the opposite, yachnia hasitra achra. With this extra drinking on Purim, as long as it's done, of course, l'shem shemayim, then the person will be able to subdue his yetzer hara. It'll be put to a good use and a holy use, like when a person drinks on Purim, and the more they drink, the more they sing, and the more they drink, the more they sing and dance and celebrate and enjoy and truly celebrate the salvation that Hashem brought on Purim, then that only brings them to greater heights and greater closeness to Hashem and greater subjugation of the tumah of the powers of impurity. So the Zera Shimshon, who just connected this idea of wine that we started with in terms of Havdalah, he just connected it to Purim. Now he's going to move into connecting the importance of wine on Pesach. V'zehu hatam shetiknu arba kosa shel yayin b'leil Pesach zecher la'arba ge'ulos. And this is the reason that Chazal established that we should drink four cups of wine at the Seder night, in commemoration of the four geulos, the four languages of redemption that are stated in the Torah regarding Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'koshe, lama dafka yibayayin. And again, we have the question we started with in the beginning about Havdalah and Kiddush. Why specifically did Chazal say that we should remember these four, commemorate these four languages of geula that are stated in the Torah over with a cup of wine, by drinking a cup of wine? Why did they do that? What's the connection to a cup of wine? The Isa B'Medrash, it is stated in the Medrash Rabbah, Al Pasuk Ki Yafli Lindor Neder Nazir, on the Pasuk that begins the section talking about a person who takes upon himself or herself the vow of Nazirus, which of course we know entails a separation from becoming Tame, becoming impure, from contact with a dead body, and also from drinking wine and consuming any grape products along with other things. We know that's part of Nazirus, of the vow of becoming a Nazir. So the Medrash says, Al tere yayin ki yis adam. The Medrash brings down a pasuk from Mishle, which says, don't look at wine when it is red. The point of the pasuk in Mishle is that a person needs to be very careful about wine and realize how harmful it can be, and therefore they shouldn't stare at it in its full-bodied redness and develop and think to themselves, oh, that's a beautiful red wine, how delicious it would be. And the pasuk goes on to say how smooth it would be going down my throat. They shouldn't really get too caught up in staring and desiring a wine. And that's the first few words of that pasuk. And the Medrash says, what is that talking about? What is that a reference to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazhir es hagoyim. That means that Hashem is warning the nations of the world, shelo yachabidu ol kosh al Yisrael, that they shouldn't make too burdensome the yoke that they put on the Jewish people. Hadohu dichsiv, and this is what the pasuk says, al teira yayin ki yis adam, as we just read, the beginning of the pasuk in Mishlei, a person shouldn't look at wine when it is very red. Mahu ki yitain bekos eno, and what do the next words in the pasuk mean about in the, because he will give in his cup the appearance of the wine. Bekis ksiv, actually the word is written bekis, not bekos. It's written in the pocket, not written bekos in the cup. Sheheim nosnim einayim bekisam shel Yisrael. The Medrash continues with this idea of how the non-Jewish world treats the Jews. And it says the non-Jewish world wants to oppress the Jews and is always looking bekisam in their pockets to see how can we take their money? How can we steal their wealth? Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem says to a non-Jew who thinks that way, Achriso kenachash yishach, and that's the continuing words over there in Mishlei, his end will be like a snake that bites. So this piece in the Medrash Rabbah that takes a pasuk in Mishlei about wine and the dangers of drinking wine and connects it to things that have to do with Hashem warning the non-Jews not to mistreat the Jews and certainly not to overdo it, the Zera Shimshon is now going to analyze and take apart. V'amedrash hazeh tamuha. And this medrash is wondrous. This medrash is hard to understand. Dema inyan azhara zu al hayayin v'al hakos. What does this warning that the medrash talked about, that Hashem is giving to the non-Jews of the world, saying don't oppress the Jews too much, don't try and take their money, don't try and steal from them too much, don't even when you're controlling them and they're under your power, under your authority, don't abuse them too much. Don't take too much of an advantage of them. What does that have to do with a pasuk in Mishlei that's talking about drinking wine and being careful when we drink wine? Ve'od mahu hanachash, and more, and also, what is the issue of the snake in that pasuk? What snake is that that's being talked about? Dichsiv achriso kenachash, that the pasuk says, his end will be like a snake. U'bomesh kasavnu nicha shapir. The Zera Shimshon says, with everything that we've discussed, with the ideas that he, the Zera Shimshon, has developed and elaborated upon, this medrash can be easily understood, can be perfectly understood. Lefisha b'yayin yesh tei shutvim, because when it comes to wine, there are two partners. Yesh chelek hatov v'yesh chelek hara. There's the good aspect and the bad aspect. U'misha mishtaker shose yoser michelko. And a person who becomes drunk, what does it mean? It means that they're taking more from the wine than is appropriate. They're taking more than their appropriate share of the wine. The nichnas b'chelek hara, and they're entering into the evil domain, the negative aspect of the wine. That's what happens when you take too much wine and drink too much wine. V'hudomem mamish liYisrael. And this is exactly similar to what the Medrash was talking about the Jewish people under the power of the non-Jews. Shekivon shechatu, because the Jewish people sinned at different times. V'hakadosh Baruch Hu mosrim biyad goyim, and Hashem puts them into the control of the non-Jewish nations. Hagoyim, these non-Jewish nations, top of the column, ein lahem rishus aleihem ela lemechta. They only have control over the Jews for half. Ya'an yesh gam chelek HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Yisrael, because Hashem still has a chelek and a controlling interest in the Jewish people. Hashem, even when he allows the Jewish people to be under the control, to be subjugated by a non-Jewish nation, it doesn't mean chas v'sholem that he's giving up from the Jews and now they totally belong, so to speak, they totally belong to the non-Jews. No, that's a mistake, that the non-Jews should never think that. V'hanochrim yeshlem lilmod mehayayin, the non-Jews should learn from wine. Sheloli kanes betchum she'eno shelahem, and they shouldn't enter in to things, to the areas and domains that don't belong to them. Just like a person shouldn't drink too much wine, so too the non-Jews shouldn't go overboard in their domination over the Jews. Ki az yuzku, because then they will be damaged, they will be struck, and they will suffer. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu yechera apo bohem, and Hashem will become angry with them if they overstep the line and overstep the bounds. V'lachein al pasuk al tere yayin, and therefore the pasuk in Mishlei about don't look at the wine and don't drink too much wine. Samach hazharazu le'umos. It fits perfectly with a warning to the non-Jews not to overdo their control and their domination of the Jews. And so here we're going to stop. And what we see here is that the Zereshimshon, actually, I'm so sorry. I stopped a little early. We can do one more paragraph. There's one more paragraph that completes the connection to Pesach. I didn't realize that for a second. So let's continue. One more paragraph. Vihineha Mitzrim Avru al Zeh, and the Egyptians violated this rule about not persecuting the Jews too much, not making the causing the Jews to suffer too much. Mishiabdu Bahem Yosir Midai, and they enslaved the Jews too much. Vigozru Alehem Arba Gezeros Kashos, and the Egyptians made four harsh decrees against the Jews. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gal Osanu Miyodam Be'arba L'shono Shel Geula, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved and rescued us from the four decrees of the Egyptians through four languages of redemption. L'fi She'kol Midosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mido K'neged Mido, because Hashem always operates in this world in a way that is Mido K'neged Mido. Also behem arba mishpatim v'nekamos, and so Hashem executed four judgments and four acts of revenge, keneged arba gezeros, against the four types of persecution that the Egyptians promulgated against the Jewish people. She keneged hashibud hakoshe, corresponding to the harsh enslavement that the Egyptians put on the Jewish people for so many years. Rotza Hashem wanted, Sheviyanatzlu Eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem wanted that when the Jews left, they would clear out, they would empty out Mitzrayim from its wealth. Sheyitnu Lahem Secharam, that the Jewish people should get their payment. Bamesh Sheshabdu Bahem Yosem Midai, because the Egyptians overworked them and over-enslaved them and took the slavery to too much of an extreme. And therefore, Hashem made sure that when Bnei Yisrael left Egypt, they left with great wealth from Egypt, from the Egyptians. U'keneged shar ha'avero shahayu mishtamshim b'Yisrael, and corresponding to the other sinful behaviors that the Egyptians did, and when besides for the enslavement and the harsh labor, we learned from Chazal that the Egyptians were always looking for a way to send individuals, Jews, out to go and do menial things and to go and do dirty things, like go catch frogs for me and go catch rodents for me and go do this and go do. They were always sending them on these little menial chores to humiliate them. Corresponding to that, Hevi Aleim Hamakos Mido Keneged Mido, Hashem brought the 10 plagues on the Egyptians, Mida Keneged Mida, Kidi'isa B'Medrash V'Ayin Sham, as it states in the Medrash Tanchuma, and you can see all the details there. U'Cheneged Ha'etzo She'osu L'maides Yisrael, corresponding, and this is the third of the decrees that the Egyptians made, corresponding to all of the plans that the Egyptians made to decrease the population, the Jewish population, Kidi'chsiv Hova Nishak Malo Pen Yirbe, let us deal craftily, let us deal wisely with the Jews, lest the nation increase. Im ben hu v'hamiten oso, and if the women give birth to a son, then the son should, the baby boy should be killed. O kemosha pirish Rashi nischak mu l'moshion she Yisrael, or as Rashi explains, what the Egyptians were really up to is that they were making plans as to how to defeat Hashem in his plan to bring a savior for the Jewish people. Of course, that's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ube'umos choshev hamachshava kamaisa, regarding the non-Jews of the world, Hashem treats their thoughts and their plans as if they actually enacted them, even if they didn't bring their plans to fruition, to full fruition. Hevi aleim hamakas b'choros, so Hashem responded to that with the plague of Makas Bechoros. U'cheneged kol ha-ben ha-yilud ha-ya'oret ha-shlichuhu, and corresponding to the Egyptians' rule that all male children should be thrown into the river, lachein sus v'rochvo ramo v'yom, that was the punishment that happened to the Egyptians at Kriyas Yamsuf when Hashem It brought the waters of the Yam Suf crashing back down on the Egyptian army and overthrew them and overturned them and ultimately drowned them in the sea. In order to commemorate these incredible miracles, Tiknu Chachomim B'Leil Pesach Arba Kosel Shel Yayin. The Chachomim established the mitzvah, the rabbinic mitzvah of drinking four cups of wine at the Seder, Kidei Lishol Nekoma Me'oyvenu, in order for us to ask and daven to Hashem to bring an end to our suffering from our present enemies and to bring revenge upon them. Shem Mishabdin Osanu Yoser Midai, that our present enemies and throughout Jewish history subjugated the Jews too much. V'zehu she'anu omrim shefo chamoscha. And this is what we're referring to when we say in the Haggadah, Hashem, pour out your anger. That's regarding, of course, Kos Shel Eliyahu. Pour out your anger upon the nations that oppress us. The ode, and more so in that vein. Kedei lehodos l'hakadosh baruch hu, in order to thank Hashem, she'af kish'anu chotin, even when we sin, Yesh lo chelek imonu. Hashem doesn't forsake us. He still has a portion. He is still guarding us and protecting us. Ve'al ya'azvenu, and he will not forsake us. Ve'al yitshenu, he will not give us up and depart from us. And that's the whole idea of the yayin, that the yayin is has a good aspect and a bad aspect. And so too, even when Hashem, at times, because of the sins of Bnei Yisrael, gives them over to the non-Jews, it's a half and half arrangement, just like the wine. Half is Hashem is controlling, and Hashem continues to maintain that unbreakable bond, that unbreakable relationship with Bnei Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael. And the other half is the aspect of the dominion and this and as a punishment that we are under the ruling and the authority and sometimes the subjugation, God forbid, of the Umos HaOlam. But that's at the most, that can only be half, because just like the wine, there's the two halves and the two aspects. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never, ever relinquishes his bond and his relationship with Klal Yisrael, with Bnei Yisrael. So that the Zera Shimshon here has taken us on a tour de force and explained to us, gotten into the depths of understanding of what wine represents and why wine at Kiddush and Abdul is so significant. Then he brought in Purim and wine, drinking wine on Purim, and then he brought in the Dalet Kosos and connected all of it to his Yesod of understanding the basic nature of wine and its two aspects, its two parts, the holy aspect and the profane side as well. Yashar Koch to everyone for joining the learning tonight. And we look forward, of course, to learning again together. Emir Tzeshem, God willing, next week.